You know, I've been thinking about something since early this morning, like about 3 o'clock this morning. The Lord was just talking to me and putting things together, and some things I've seen little bits and pieces of for a long time, but I kind of have avoided them for a good purpose. I wanted to talk on the coming 9/11, and I was talking to Brad a little earlier today and telling him what I was planning, and he says, "I can't believe after all these years you're finally publicly going to talk on that." And he said, "What took so long?" I said, "Well, I didn't, nor do I want to get people mixed up with the paranoids out there. They really need to study the Word, and still do. It's the only thing that will save them. It's the only thing that will keep them in the secret place of the Most High. So many of God's people are out there studying the thing that tickles their mind rather than the thing they need. And so the Lord has had me avoid some things, you know. But I feel like it's time to give a warning of some things actually the Lord's been saying to us, and I haven't really covered them. And so I want to talk on the coming 9/11. And I'll point you back to some things we've actually seen and I've made notes on in the past. Not many comments were made about it, and I know it's because God just worked it out that way. But we have on our site, actually we have it on there twice. One time there is no comments in it, no interpretation in it. But on another one, there is an interpretation on the eagle and the serpents. And it's in Michael Boldia's page, The Eagle and the Serpents. And both myself and Rob Miller had put some thoughts in there. And they've been there for quite a while, because I do believe that. I don't feel like the Lord would have us studying a lot of what the worldly church is studying. And it's been very destructive to them, and they're not getting ready for the coming of the Lord. There's only one thing that can do that, the Word of God in your heart. That's the only thing will get you ready, because Jesus can handle this world and anything in it. And He's the Word. And if you put the Word in there, He can do the work. He will bring all things to your remembrance, and He will put anointing upon the truth. The truth is anointed. If you don't have the truth, you're missing out on something you really are going to need. The truth is what sets you free and keeps you free, right? So I want to share this and a few more articles. I've never put them together in one place. They make up a picture of what's about to happen. And this is The Eagle and the Serpents, given to Michael Boldia. He said, "The angel said, 'This has been revealed to you that you may know. The first bite has been, the second is yet to come, and the third will be its destruction.'" That's a quote from out of this text. Psalm 34, 7 through 8 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear Him, and He delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those that fear Him." And then Michael shares this dream. He says, "I dreamt I was walking through a sparsely wooded forest, and suddenly my attention was drawn to an eagle flying high above the tree line. It was a beautiful sight to behold as the eagle rode the thermals, flying in slow, lazy arcs across the blue sky. I began to quicken my pace and keep up with the eagle's flight, all the while keeping an eye on it, noticing that it was slowly descending towards the earth. And I followed it for a long time. It descended, its descent not being sudden, but very gradual. I finally came upon a small clearing where there were no trees, just some bushes on the edges of the green grass. The eagle landed in the clearing and began to look around, not seeming to notice me. As I began to wonder what the relevance of this was, a man dressed in white, hands clasped in front of him, appeared beside me and said, 'Be patient. In due time, you will see the purpose.' I was silent as I watched the eagle and was beginning to grow somewhat impatient when suddenly, and if you remember 911 happened in a matter of hours and it was over. He said, when suddenly it seemed out of nowhere a brown snake. The Muslim nations, I'm going to tell you just exactly what our notes are here, and I may add a few things to that, to know that we have actually shared on this before. The Muslim nations are a brown people. And I also would like you to know that the Nazis were brown shirts too. The right-wing Nazis, they were brown shirts. So a brown snake lunged at the eagle and bit down on its left wing. In effect, 911 devastated the left wing and brought about a short-lived swing to the right as this nation prayed to their God to save them. I'm not saying it's the real God, but that's what happened. The snake's strike was very quick and very precise. The eagle reacted without delay, clawing and pecking at the snake, cutting deep wounds in its underbelly, trying to defend itself and ward off the serpent. USA, which is the great eagle of Babylon in the scriptures, is still over there pecking away at the Muslim nations. And just as it seemed the eagle was winning the battle, they have had quite a few victories. They've wiped out a lot of what they consider to be enemies. Just as the eagle was winning the battle and the serpent was retreating, another serpent appeared. Red and black diagonal stripes covering its body. Very interesting. Now, red and black are the Obama colors of choice, and it was their election victory statement, if you remember. Michelle had on the red and black colors. And why red and black? Well, Obama's associate for 20 years and mentor was Bill Ayers, who is an unrepentant terrorist, an anarchist, and a Marxist, who bombed his own country to bring about change, which is Obama's chief motto. And red and black are the colors of anarchists. In fact, the anarchist flag is red and black. And it's the color of socialists and left-wingers, communists. Ayers told the New York Times in September of 2001, I don't regret cynic bombs. I feel we didn't do enough. So maybe he's going to get his chance, right? And without hesitation, this red and black diagonally striped serpent struck out at the eagle's right wing, biting down and releasing and refusing to release. Well, the first one has already happened, obviously. That was 911, as the Lord told him. And this is the next one right here. And I won't argue with anybody. I have not really wanted to study or get into the paranoia that's out there because it totally takes people over and distracts them from the real purpose of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus didn't waste a lot of time on that stuff, and I don't think we should either. But I'm doing it today because I feel like the Lord wants to warn you that this second one is coming now. The second strike is coming now. The only thing is, it's not coming from the right like it did the first time. It's coming from the left. And it's coming for the purpose to knock out the right. Just like the first 911 came for the purpose of knocking out the left. It did a pretty good job for a while. But nothing like this one's going to do. I mean, this is going to bring a great persecution against the right. Who's going to get the blame for this? Since there's knowledge all over the nation now that the right false flagged the other one. That knowledge is all over the nation, and I believe you'll find that the left is going to use that pretty quickly. Yeah, I do believe that. I don't I find that it's very hard to pick through all the paranoid's stuff to find out what's truth and what's not. You really have to have enough witnesses. And that's what the Bible tells us. A lot of that stuff's not based on any witnesses. But the Bible tells us without two or three witnesses, nobody can be condemned. Well, I know, and I've heard from a couple of witnesses who saw that jetliner fly over the top of the Pentagon, not through it. They were actually there, and they saw it fly over the top. Witnesses are testifying of these things, and buildings do not fall straight down. They just do not. The only way you can get a building to fall straight down is a controlled demolition. When you got all those I-beams, folks, I know about I-beams. We build them out at the plant. And I was in on some of that construction and engineering and stuff. And when you build something that's tall and you use them big I-beams, you cover them in almost a concrete-looking material that is fire retardant. And that fire don't get to that I-beam. It don't matter how much liquid you got around it burning, it don't get to that I-beam to melt it, and it wouldn't melt them all at the same time. That's ridiculous. Yeah. So David, why are you talking about this now? Well, because I just feel like I'm not trying to stir up your curiosity to go out and look at these things. I'm just trying to tell you that the next one is coming and what his purpose is coming for and what you need to be aware of, okay? Let me read on. It says, well, as I said here, I believe the next bombing will be terrorists in cooperation with the left to devastate the right-wing politics and morals of this country. And Michael Boldia goes on. He says, after a momentary tug of war, the serpent tore off flesh and feathers, leaving a large wound on the eagle's right wing. Obama is purely a left-wing socialist who will use anything to tear a huge wound in the religious right of this land. Sherry Watson had a vision of the Statue of Liberty sliced in two by a huge knife from right to left. And the top half, which is obviously the government, you know, the brains of the outfit, right, the top half, or government, began to slide to the left and fall into the water. And I think that is, of course, a symbol of what's going to happen this time. It's going to slide totally to the left, as though we haven't already slid into the left. But I can tell you, we haven't gone near as far as the Lord plans. And yes, it is the Lord. He is planning this for the purpose of righting his people. But it's going to fall into the water. The second bite was much worse than the first, because the second 911 is going to be much worse than the first. And for an instant, the eagle was stunned. Yeah, I imagine a lot of people are going to wonder which way to go, you know, what to do about this, and who done it, you know, same as last time, right? Then a serpent much larger than the previous two, made up of many colors, slithered towards the eagle, opened its jaws, and lunged, taking the whole of the eagle's head in its mouth before biting down. Well, this many-colored serpent, I believe, is the beast of Revelation 13, which is made up of all the nations. And they're going to do what Russia and China have planned to do from the beginning, and that is decapitate the government before attacking the United States. That's why it took the eagle's whole head in its mouth. That's been their plan. People who have escaped from them have told of their plan of blowing up the government before actually invading. And so on. The serpents retreated. Of course, this is the We're talking about two different ends of the tribulation period here. Number two serpent is on this end of the tribulation, and number three serpent is on the other end of the tribulation. And the one on this end is black and red, and the one on the other end is all colors, right? Many colors. The serpents retreated, and the man who had been standing beside me walked to the eagle, knelt down, picked it up, and held it to his cupped hands. The look of grief on his face was beyond any I've seen in my life. Just seeing the look on the man's face broke my heart. The man continued to look down at the eagle and with a pained voice said, "The true tragedy is that at any moment it could have sought the safety of the above. It could have soared towards the heavens and would have found its protection. This has been revealed to you that you may know that the first bite has been, and that's 911. The second is yet to come, that's the next 911. And the third will be its destruction, that is the fall of the United States." I watched for a long time as the man held the eagle in the palms of his hands, a pained expression never leaving his features. I was too stunned to speak or ask any questions. What I had seen having seemed so real. The feeling followed me into my waking hours as well. And each time I closed my eyes, I saw the entire scene play before my eyes throughout the day. One thing that I feel I need to share with you is that the second bite, which is the next bite, seemed to come from an unexpected place. Yeah. Although I have my own opinion concerning this, I choose to keep it to myself because expounding on personal opinion is a dangerous thing when it comes to things that God reveals. Amen. Well, I believe the second bite is going to come from an unexpected place. And all the blame is going to go elsewhere, just like it did last time. Because that's what people have called a false flag, okay? False flag attack. You know, I really wasn't even thinking of sharing on this, and I've avoided it. And but last night, like I said, 3:00 in the morning, the Lord just started, you know, putting a bunch of these together that we've received over the time. And I got up this morning and I went and I pulled them out, searched for them and found them. It's kind of hard to find everything on our site sometimes. And then I got a confirmation a little later. Sonny, who didn't know nothing about this, sent me an article called "Is Another 911 Set to Unfold?" And yeah, I think it was right on, you know. But the article I want to share with you right now is from our site. It's called "America Conquered by Russia / Communism." And when I pulled them back out, I added a few things that I didn't want to put in there before because I felt like it wasn't time. So I added a few things in there, and I want to share with you the more full interpretation here. Okay. This was a dream given to Garrett Crawford. And Rory Moore gave some interpretation, and I did too. But I just recently put a little bit more in there. In fact, today I put a little bit more in there from things that I'd seen before, but I didn't feel like it was time yet. Okay. Garrett says, "In a dream, I recall being somewhere in the western region of the United States, and I was in the home of a man who was loading up guns and stocking up on ammo. He was worried about protecting his home and property. Something was about to happen, though I am not sure what, but even the most undiscerning person could feel it in the air. We were on the verge of great lawlessness." I agree, that's exactly where we are right now, you know, and many people wouldn't call it lawlessness. They would call it justice and righteous indignation and whatever. But according to God's word, it's lawlessness. And what a lot of Christians have in mind, according to God's word, is lawlessness. Because Jesus gave us these commands of resist not him that's evil, love your enemy, do good to them that despitefully use you. He didn't put any conditions on that. He just commanded us to do it. Okay? So what's coming is lawlessness from both sides. You know, folks, I don't really consider myself belonging to the right, and certainly don't to the left, and I don't believe any Christian should either. Our kingdom is not of this world, and the people of our kingdom don't look like this world. And they don't fight on any side with flesh and blood. They just don't do it. It's not God's way. God will be our Savior. He'll be our provider. He'll be our protector. And you know, his power is made perfect in our weakness. And as long as we're going to defend ourselves, God will back off and see how well you do, you know. No, but I'd rather have his help. So Garrett said, even the most undiscerning knew that this was in the air, this great lawlessness. The man, I thought, was taking the wrong approach to his preparation, and he ridiculed me for not taking up arms. You know, many a militant patriot are getting ready to fight to take the country back from the liberal communists who are destroying the Constitution and the laws from within. It's happening. So, Garrett says, after this scene, I was in the eastern part of the nation. I quickly realized that I was in Washington, D.C. Some of you have asked me quite a bit of questions about Washington, D.C. lately, and I think I'll save some of those answers until we get through here. I was standing and looking at the White House. I saw that it sat in a peculiar position, which was with the back of the building facing a body of water. A note here that he puts in here, he says, the head of Babylon that is sitting on many waters. Yes. I saw the Americans doing something in the water. The Americans doing something in the water. And I continued watching. Many submerged vessels appeared on the surface of the water. They were hidden, but they came up. Now, I don't think you ought to see this in the letter, because it's really not happening in the letter. Okay? I want you to see this in the spirit. It's a parable, right? These vessels were not American. They were Russian. And they quickly moved ashore. Well, I want to tell you, some of you that have read Hidden Manna know that I believe that behind a lot of what's going on of the attacks on the United States are the Russians. And I give some evidence of that in Hidden Manna. And they're bringing something here, I believe, that destroyed their own country. And they know it. Okay. Garrett goes on, he says, this is where I saw many soldiers run up the shore and proceed to enter the back of the White House. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of these men overtaking the building. And Rory's note says here, it says, this points right to the scriptures that Babylon sits on many waters, invaded from the back, speaks of being taken over from within, not a frontal outside attack. I agree with that. The waters behind the White House are the peoples that are ruled by it. That's what it represents. You know, the Revelation tells us that the waters are the peoples, nations, tribes, and tongues, right? Well, out of these waters have arisen the leftists, the communists, who have taken the White House. These are ruled by the same principalities that ruled the Russian communists. It is a spiritual war. The right wing is, in effect, going down in flames, losing the propaganda war before the physical war. A few years ago, we received a dream that the Statue of Liberty was shot at with missiles from a Russian sub and was cut in half, as the country is now. And the top half, containing the head and government, then fell to the left and into the water. At that time, I said this represented the coming of a left-wing government. And this has only begun. The White House was quickly overrun and taken over by this force. The next thing I recall is that I was underground, beneath the White House itself. And what I found was breathtaking. There was an extensive tunnel system underneath the structure, because much of what the White House does is underground, undercover, and wouldn't be accepted if it was above ground. I saw a few Americans resisting, but ultimately being overcome by multitudes of Russians. The invading force, listen to this, used the weapons systems that were stored down there against the Americans and quickly overcame them. So something that was used as a weapon by the Americans is now in the control of the leftists, the communists, right? So the underground, notice this was all underground, the underground liberal communist left is now taking over America by using its own political weapons against it. And one of the weapons the right used was a false flag attack on 9-1-1. Now the left will use it. Notice, it's come into their possession. The eagle and the serpent's revelation was a really good one of that, I think. And also, civil war is coming is another revelation on that. Well, this whole scene reminded me of a colony of enemy ants invading another colony and overtaking it. And I agree. That's the cooperation of the communist socialists that now are occupying the White House. We've only seen the surface of what these people are like. You know, obviously people have picked up on their background and reported this and reported that. And the country at large never hears a lot of those things or knows about them. But obviously what's been hidden beneath the surface is going to come out on top sooner or later. And Garrett goes on, he says, after seeing all that I had seen, my heart sank. I said within myself, the whole country must be under attack. America has fallen. Well, he goes on, he makes a note here. He said, could this be Babylon spiritually falling at the beginning of the tribulation? I say, yes, that's right, because we had a revelation and a teaching here a while back about Babylon spiritually falling before physically falling. That's always been true of any, you know, great nation or empire. They always spiritually fall before they physically fall, right? He says, but then a word from the Lord was given to me. Quote, the goal of this operation is to weaken the country first. Then, once weakened, America will be susceptible to a wave of Muslim terrorist attacks that will come later. And that's speaking, of course, of Babylon physically falling in the years that follow this, right? Some people think Babylon's not going to fall until the end, but actually it's going to be more and more struck by this enemy until it ultimately falls to the United Nations, which at that time will be called the Beast, at least by God's people. And Garrett goes on to say, he said, just as quick as before, I was ushered off into the heavens. And as I looked down, I saw what seemed to be military installations. I saw missile silos somewhere in the country. Then I found myself looking down at the Pentagon. You know, Rory's note here is the missile silos also. And he quotes this verse, though Babylon should mount up to heaven. You know, God says he's going to bring her down, doesn't he? I realized that everything I was looking at was still in the hands of the Americans. And I had thought the whole country was taken over, but the military infrastructure was uncompromised, just like we are now. But it is being taken over, right? But all of that infrastructure is still there. All the military infrastructure is still there. And then he says, that made me think even more that the White House invasion was spiritual. Yes, this is an ideological attack by the Reds, a symbol of communists, but also one of sinners, as Isaiah 1 and 18 says. Garrett says, my body was quickly translated from the heavens to the Pentagon below. I found myself in the presence of a very high-ranking general. I quickly alerted him that there was a Russian siege on the White House. Everything was lost, and it was a total takeover. I was taken aback by his response, although he did confirm to me that he and the other generals were well aware of the invasion, as they are now. They were confident that the invasion would be contained to only the White House. It seemed to me that they had taken steps to ensure that the invasion would not spread But I was not as confident as him. I saw the Pentagon and missile silos, and they were not breached, and the general took confidence in that. But look at it like this, friends. The Pentagon represents the muscles of the nation, the arm of flesh. No matter how strong a man, if he loses his head, then his muscles are good for nothing. They cannot save him. That's very true. Wise thought there, Garrett. And my thought is, although it is true that the U.S. military is still full of right-wing people and not nearly as leftist or communist as the government, this may also be speaking of something spiritual. The other militant group that from within invaded the White House stands opposed to the right-wing militants who now have no access to the White House, but falsely think that they can keep the country from being completely ideologically taken over. They do, but they're not counting on that second serpent. See, a great backlash is about to happen here. One of Garrett's notes, he said, if the communist Russian invasion in the White House was not altogether physical, rather spiritual, then those without spiritual eyes cannot see the truth, or they underestimate the growing danger due to their blindness. Yes, that's true. Proverbs 22 and 3. A prudent man seeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and suffer for it. It could be that the invading Russians represent communist ideology. Amen, I agree with that. The generals may realize that the White House has become socialist, but they remain confident that the military might of the nation will be able to deter any takeover. I was in deep thought about the dream for hours after I had it, and then I asked the Lord what it means, but all I was getting was the word infiltration. This word came to me many times over the course of the day. Here's an excerpt from a JFK speech about the New World Order, which he warned was a growing threat 40 years ago. Quote, "For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations." Yeah, I'd say that describes it pretty good. And before the physical invasion comes the spiritual one. And according to Revelation 18, before the physical fall of any nation comes the spiritual fall. An angel said to Dmitry Dudeman, "The Russian spies have discovered where the most powerful nuclear missiles are in America. It will start with the world calling for peace, peace." Isn't that what they're trying to do right now? What does the Bible say? "Then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child." Well, I'll continue his quote here. "It will start with the world calling for peace, peace. Then there will be an internal revolution in America, started by the communists." In other words, the liberal left one-worlders, right? "Some of the people will start fighting against the government." That's, of course, the right wing. Right? "The government will be busy with internal problems." And then comes the third serpent. "And then from the oceans, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, Mexico, and two other countries, which I cannot remember, will attack. And the Russians will bombard the nuclear missile silos in America, and America will burn." Yes. And here's another one that I've given a little bit more interpretation to. the bears attack. And this is Lisette Renaud from Canada, from French Canada. She said, I dreamed I was outside of myself, resting somewhere in a park setting. I can't say where I was exactly, but I was close enough to my house that I could run to it. And I live in Alberta, Canada. Those who are, this I believe represents those who are resting in the safety of the Lord. God's people, right? It was a beautiful, cool, and fresh day, like a fall day, when I heard people screaming that bears were coming. Something terrible had just happened suddenly. There's that word again, suddenly. And I propose to you that this is probably the next 911 that's coming from the left. She says in her note here, she says, bears could represent Russia as communism, socialism, or an attack of our freedoms as we know them. It could represent a greater economic collapse, bear representing the bear market. It could also represent a sudden physical attack like a nuclear bomb or something. Whatever it was, I sensed that it was something very big that had just happened and was affecting everyone. Well, I think she has a really good note here because I think, you know, when this attack comes, there ain't going to be no economy. So, and I believe that the bear attacks represent all of the above. Calamities and another 911 coming upon the United States and Canada because they are turning to the beast principality that ruled Russia. You know, it's not just people that have ideologies that do things. There's a spirit behind them. And that beast principality that once ruled over communism that came out of Russia is now attacking this land. And people are bowing down to it instead of God. They're bowing down to it. Most Russians agree that this brought failure to their country's economy, totalitarianism, loss of freedom, and many lives. This appears to be a confirmation of Garrett's dream. People were panicking and were so afraid that they were running everywhere, not knowing where to turn. And Lisette puts this note there. She said, the terrible calamities Jesus said would come are now here and will continue to increase. Those who called us crazy and said we were a bunch of conspiracy nuts and Bible-thumping fanatics will be running like scared cats with no place of refuge and no hope. The world will be in shock at what is happening. But, of course, that's going to be our opportunity, right, folks? The people you've talked to are going to suddenly realize, hey, he's not as crazy as I thought he was, you know. And they may listen, you know. Some will listen. By the grace of God, this is where our revival is coming. Lisette said, I did not run. I was confronted with a bear, but believed he could not hurt me because I was under God's protection. Well, that's a good thing to believe. Don't you think we ought to all believe that? We have a Passover lamb, right? Amen. And the Lord in Luke, in the beginning of Luke, told us that he came to redeem us from our enemies. So praise God. That means somebody is going to escape the enemies, some people who are redeemed. Well, she said, all the time that he was in front of me trying to attack me, I kept thanking God for his protection. She said, the true remnant of Christ will be at peace when this big calamity strikes. I think now we know what this big calamity is. Knowing that he has everything under control, the remnant will be resting in God, trusting him, trusting his word. Those who are expecting the man-child, who know they will be here for the tribulation period, yet protected under his wings. Those who believe his word and stand on his word will be at peace, even though the world around them is turned upside down. They will not fear. They will experience. Psalm 91. Amen. And when I took a good look at him, he looked like a big teddy bear. Then he finally left. Her note says, we have the authority of Christ. We have been preparing his remnant to be overcomers. to stand on His Word, and soon we will be put to the test. Amen. Once he was gone, I ran home to check up on my husband. And when I got in the house, I saw my husband sitting down in a chair talking on the phone. His face was bleeding and he was covered in blood. He looked so distraught. Her note, concerned for their loved ones, the remnant will go to them and will see that because of these terrible calamities, many believers who had become cold towards God will now be calling on Him for help. That's why he was on the phone. Right. The people we have been praying for, the family, friends, and neighbors, will finally get a sudden realization that they must get in touch with God quickly and get right with Him if they want His protection. I agree. This is going to come over many people. The fear of the Lord is going to be restored. People think it can't happen here, you know, can't happen to us, right? Can't happen to me, right? That's a funny way humans have of making themselves feel good about the situation. She said, somehow I knew that he had not been attacked by a bear, but by thugs. You know, once it becomes politically correct to come against the Christians and all the left-wing media joins in, guess what, friends? There's going to be a persecution coming, right? It's going to be supported from the top, just like it was during Hitler's regime, right? You know, they'll do everything they can to raise up that spirit in the land to come against God's people. I realized that two things were going on. Regular attacks by thugs, people attacking our freedoms or whatever, which seemed to have been going on for some time by the comment that I heard later on in the dream, and now this new terrible thing that had just happened. I then went downstairs where some members of my husband's family were. I believe I saw his father, who has been deceased for some time. He was also covered in blood. And then I heard someone say, "How much more of this can we take?" And then her note, "Those who have some knowledge of God but do not have a relationship with Christ, those who are spiritually dead, will become discouraged, for there will be no hope, no escape, no refuge, only turmoil for them, unless they turn to God." And then my note is, of course, that's when we're going to be there with an answer, right? And then I woke up, she says. Right. So, you know, be ready to give answers because you're going to be called upon to give them. Praise be to God. God's got a plan. It's a good plan. It won't fail to bring everybody that He's called from the foundation of the world or chosen from the foundation of the world into the kingdom and keep them. And then here's another one. Sherry Watson received this one in 2008. She said, "I had this dream this morning about 6 a.m. I saw the Statue of Liberty. One side of the statue was black and the other side was white." Now, I know everybody thinks they know which side's black and which side's white, but listen to what she says. She said, "In the dream, I said that the left side was black and the right side was white. However, sometime after the dream, I realized that it was the right side that was black and the left side that was white." That's contrary to a lot of people's thinking. But I want to tell you, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. Who is sinning the most here? The people who claim to know God and claim to have read the Bible? Or those who don't know God and don't know what's right and wrong? Yeah. Jesus said that those people that knew God and didn't do right would be beaten with many stripes. And those that didn't know but did wrong would be beaten with few stripes. That lets you know who he thinks is the bigger sinner here. You know? These people that claim to be Christian, but they don't read the Bible and they ignore it when you quote it to them. She said, "I knew what the Lord was showing me was division and the Civil War coming to America." Amen. Anyway, in front of the statue was a tank in the shadows with cannon facing the statue. I knew that the tank in the shadows to be a Russian tank running the show behind the scenes and provoking the Middle East to do its bidding. Yeah, I think so too. They're wearing America down with supporting their enemies, right? I also believe it has to do with the Christians so far as the coming revival and falling away. I also felt that all of these things would do much destruction to our country and that Russia is waiting in the wings till it's time to make their move. I have no doubt the Russians are fueling fires even now. Yes, I agree. My note here is that the Statue of Liberty represents America, and this division of black and white is somewhat racial, like in the Civil War. Also, it is the last Civil War I'm talking about. Also, it is that the left are the communists and Democrats, and the right are Republicans and Christians. Sherry started thinking that the left were the guys in black, the bad guys, but ended up seeing that the right was also guilty. This is covertly started by the Russians to weaken America so that they can militarily conquer her. Cultivating division in order to conquer is something both sides have been very good at. She said, I love it when the Lord does this later in the morning, and every Sunday morning, several of us gather to listen to one of your teachings. This morning's teaching just happened to be Hidden Manas, U.S. Covenant, and Civil War. God is good. Anyway, David, I felt that this was confirmation for you for some reason, and I felt it was to share it with you today. Amen. And I just gave you more of a more full interpretation than I had on the site, so we're going to put it on the site again if Brad hadn't already put it there. I'm going to share a few more of these. I want you to know I haven't really changed my mind. You know, I don't intend to waste a lot of time doing this. I don't believe that the Lord would have us be political. I really believe that we are to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. But I thought it would be good to give you a warning that we are nearing the end of our republic here. And here's a revelation given to Mary Dooley, which I didn't put the full interpretation in before, and I have now, and we're going to put it on the site. And it's entitled Civil War is Coming. She said, I had a dream in the first week of January, that's of this year. I believe it was the 7th. I was standing at a crossroads that was close to the beach, in that I could clearly see the open sky over the ocean in front of me. She says, I had asked God to tell me if I had any fruit before I went to sleep and had the dream. At the crossroads there was, where I was standing, I was next to a fruit stand. If I had to quantify the amount, I'd say it was 60% of my height. But I am going for 100-fold. Neat the way the Lord answered her prayer there, right? Then she continues on with her dream. She said, to my right, I could see that there was a battle in the air, as I could see the smoke from the jets. To my left, two planes that were unlike any I'd ever seen. And I have seen quite a few since 1988 living on or near military bases. And they were speeding at low level towards the battle. I knew in the dream that they were Turkish. They were totally black. But of course this battle was in the United States. I don't know if this is all of it, I doubt it, but I did make the note before that Turkey fell out with Israel over the Gaza war, and they began pushing the Obama administration even further to the left. As I say, if that's possible, concerning their support for Israel. I believe that Obama will align himself with his history and not Israel. The first nation to fall to the new Babylon, One World Order, in Jeremiah 25:17 was Israel, which I have to tell you is also a type for Christianity, because what happens to them happens to the Christians, right? God uses them as a type for Christians. So does it seem strange to you that before the tribulation, Christians would be not have favor with the government? It doesn't at all to me, folks. Just think about Jesus' time. They were in bondage. They had been taken over by the beast empire, the Roman Empire. They were under the authority of the beast. They didn't have a part in the government. They were subjects to the government. So it doesn't seem strange as a repetition of history that the Christians would be have lost their influence in the government entirely and be persecuted. Okay. Mary said, next, from the left again, something was coming in the air. It was something big and black with black smoke coming out from it in all directions. As it got closer, I could see something orange on the nose of it. And then I realized it was a black airship or a blimp. Notice that both sides are in darkness here because of the use of black here. And the orange thing on the nose was a jack-o'-lantern. Halloween, which is October the 31st, is Babylon's All Saints Day. How about that? When the Celts say the living are closest to the dead, and the forces of darkness are at work. Well, that's interesting, because that's, I believe, what we're about to see is things happening in darkness here, under cover of darkness, like underneath the White House, taking the weapons that the previous administration used for their own. Very interesting, right? Well, the eyes, the nose, and the mouth were orange because the inside of the airship was on fire. As the airship passed in front of me, I saw that it was slowing down and being totally consumed internally, as the orange flames were destroying it quickly. It stopped in front of me and fell into the ocean. Well, my notes here. There's a battle going on for the airwaves before the physical battle. The left is floating ideas too. In effect, bring the fairness doctrine back under another form to shoot down the conservatives' command of the airwaves, which is about as weak as a blimp compared to what is coming. On a more natural level, to follow this, blimps cannot compete with jets. They're clumsy, slow, lack power, and are relics of the past for warfare. This spiritually describes the badly outmatched right-wing conservative Babylonish Christian movement that is rising up to take the nation back from the left wing that is in control of the military and in favor with the people somewhat. This will be a dismal failure. Another 9-1-1 is coming, this time from the left. And the blame will be put on the right because so much proof is coming forward of the Bush administration's part in the first 9-1-1 that they will be blamed for this one too, by the Obama administration and the left-wing media. The country is about to swing very far left, if you can imagine. And Mary went on to say, I felt like I should run to higher ground because the airship was so big. It was so close that it might cause a big wave to hit me. My note was, this will bring great persecution to the Christians. And no doubt that this big wave may have something to do with the economy, too. Remember, we had many dreams about a small wave, which was the recession, and a coming big wave, which is the depression. And no doubt this will really cap off the depression. The only thing is, they can blame it on the right wing. They can't do that right now, but they will be able to. So I ran upstairs into one of the nearby rather short buildings behind me. And my note is that Christians will no doubt need to get to the high and holy ground of scriptural foundation to escape this coming disaster from the division in America. The scriptures declare that militant Christians will lose this battle badly. Let's listen to the U.S. Covenant and Civil War. You know, there's a good article there. Mary went on. She says, "Now I knew I was on a Navy base, and as I went up about one or two stories, and an enlisted man in uniform was leaning back in his chair with his hands behind his head, rather unconcerned. He was at the back end of what looked like a movie theater with the screen to my left. No one was in the room but the enlisted man, who, from where he was sitting, would probably be the person running the projector. And I told him what had happened, and he said, yes, my father was on that airship. And I was surprised at how unmoved he was. And what came to me was a younger left-wing generation that has rebelled against the conservative morals and constitutional respect of the forefathers will show no mercy or pity them in the coming civil war. An Antichrist spirit is sweeping the world, much like anti-Semitism did during the Nazi era. A great backlash against the Christians will come from this. The left will have complete control over the media, typed by the movie projector, to bring a worldwide persecution of Christianity." So this left-winger had control over the movies, right? She said, "Next, I was outside at the crossroads again. Now I could see that there was a convoy, almost like a parade, coming home from the direction of the air battle." So now we get to see who won, right? "I got the impression they were victorious, as they did not even appear tired or dirty. More like inspection ready. They were sitting in tiers like bleachers that were on top of some vehicle bringing them back to the base. They were sitting in camouflage uniform, wearing dark glasses, holding flags." These, of course, are hiding the truth, you know, dark glasses, so you can't really tell who they are. But they're willfully hiding from the sun. You'd probably be behind their patriotism, right, with their little flags, you know. She said the flags were full size and easy to see, as each person had a flag and held it stretched out in front of him. So basically they're going to make the right look like the criminals, the invaders, the rebels, so on and so forth. And the left wing is going to claim patriotism, right? She said the flags were stiff, like posters, and they were held on each end. My note was the flags were stiff, cheap fakes of what the real flag that was blown by the wind stood for. She said, "Now I could see that the flags were distinctly Confederate, and the convoy was taking the curve in the road to their left. There were only two choices at this intersection, curve sharply to the left or sharply to the right." And I'm sure most of Christianity would prefer this would have been a sharp right turn, but it's not. It was a sharp left turn. "I did not see anyone going to the right." You know, the conservative religious right will lose badly in this coming spiritual war and then physical war, right? The rebels against our forefathers' morality will win. The country will turn sharply to the left where the goats go in Jesus' parable. Like the Confederate rebels, their interest is to cast off any moral or constitutional restraint and keep black men, as a type of those who walk in darkness, or sinners, in bondage. Some people don't like my choice of using black men as sinners, but it has nothing to do with that It has to do with the parable. You always want to look for the spiritual revelation in the parable. Black men are as good as white men as far as I'm concerned. The Lord says, know no man from outward appearance, right? Know no man after the flesh. Okay, white men are as good as black men. Bill said, say it. Okay. Yeah, we are to be no respecters of persons, right? We're just like our Father, right? Hallelujah. But when you look at a parable and it points out that a person's black or white, then you got to figure out, now, why is he saying that? Because it really has nothing to do with the text, right? Unless you see something spiritual there. So don't get mad at me. Well, she goes on. That's the end of the dream, by the way. She goes on to say that on the 11th of January, I was at work, and a Christian patient was about to leave when suddenly she remembered that her teenage daughter had a dream that night. She said an angel took her into the air where there was a tremendous air battle going on. How about that for a confirmation? And it was so loud and disturbing that she covered her ears. And then the angel brought her back to her bed. She then woke up her mom to tell her, and she was crying because it was so disturbing, and she's only 16, and she told her mom about the dream. About 3 days after this, I called my very good friend, Ellen, and I told her that I had had a dream that I wanted to tell her. She stopped me and said she just had one, and so she told me her dream first. She said that she was caught in the middle of a war that was about to start. She said she was trying to find cover behind a house and that the battle was about to begin, and she was trying to help a little girl find cover. And I asked her what kind of battle, as in modern or something from the past, and she said, it's a revolutionary. No, it's a civil war. Ah, more confirmations, right? Well, I believe that this civil war will escalate from a war of words and over the airwaves to physical weapons sometime soon. Obviously, the battle is heating up, and people are being more and more polarized and very angry, you know. We've been seeing that, and some of this anger is coming from the right wing. Quite a bit of it is. It's not getting very good reviews in the national media, is it? No. And here's one from Marilyn Klink, and it's American Civil War Coming. Let me read that one to you. In the dream, a godly sister in Christ and I were at some train tracks, watching young men board the trains. The young men were dressed in American Civil War uniforms and going off to war. The sister and I implored them not to go, telling them that this war would not be good and that brother would end up fighting brother. No one would heed our tearful pleas. They just kept boarding the trains. I noticed that in addition to each soldier carrying a rifle, they also had a small pack or tray of seedling vegetables, like you plant in your garden in the spring. I understood the part of the dream about civil war coming, but was puzzled over the seedling vegetables plants. I felt that somehow the plants represented in some way the disruption of food or crops because of the Civil War, or the control of the government, right, over the crops. That's my note there. But after praying, I also thought that they might indicate that the war would start in the springtime. Perhaps this dream has some relevance to the events we are seeing come to pass now. I fully agree with that. Amen to that. And let me share another one with you here. Are these putting together a picture for you that you can say, yeah, there's something like that coming? I think so. There's many places on our site where multiple attacks happen on the United States. Many, in fact, let me say this. We've had some on there in the past that were, I think, very good, but dated. And I'll tell you why I think that is because I've shared with you my theory. I'll call it a theory, but I actually think it's more than a theory, that there were two delays. I showed that from the scriptures, and I also showed it from the Bible codes that there were two delays mentioned in this scenario, this tribulation scenario. And the first one was in 2000, the second one was in 2006. And some of these multiple attacks upon America were in those two zones. And I believe you can't delay just one thing in a sequence of events. The whole sequence is delayed. And I think that the Bible codes point this out very well. The scriptures do too, because the scriptures can't be wrong about sequence of events. You know, once you start in on one end, you're going to come out on the other end, because these things are connected. And so I don't think we can change the sequence of events, but I believe the time has changed twice before, just like it did with Amos. You know, when the Lord spoke about judging Israel, and Amos complained twice that Jacob is small, how shall he stand? And the Lord repented of the evil he was going to do until the third time. And then he said, he pulled out the plumb bob and he said, nope, I'm going to judge him this time. I'm not going to pass him by ever again. I think we've come to the third time. I believe the sequence of events that you may think were totally wrong back there because they had a date on them. So did the Bible codes, by the way. They had dates on them, or relative time things anyway, that you may have thought were wrong back there. You're going to find that some of those are going to be very accurate. Matter of fact, I pulled some of those off the site because of the date, but I kept them, and I kept them because I believe that we're going to prove that, quite a few of those are very accurate in the time that's coming. And but people that don't understand that, if you leave that up there, they'll think, oh, another false prophecy, you know. Well, some very ignorant people did make such goofy charges as that, but they really don't know much. And I think most people understood that. But you don't want to make people stumble on purpose. So I pulled them down. But I'm going to tell you, I think the sequence of events is going to start, and I don't believe there's going to be any delaying. In fact, I'm going to tell you something else. There's going to be, see, from these two delays that the Bible, I say, prophesied were going to happen, it made people think that God can never give dates, that dates don't actually happen, that he won't prophesy dates. It made people think that. But I think when the last sequence of events starts, there's going to be some dates in there, and they're going to be accurate. Now, I'm very careful about dates. I guess the Lord's trained me through these two time periods, I believe, to be more careful about dates, you know. And we've pointed out that these dates can be delayed. We have a very good article on that at the top of the Dreams and Visions page for anybody that wants to read it. But I want to share this other one with you. This is Fleeing Babylon to Our Safe House. This is Garrett Crawford's revelation. I had a dream about us. Details are lacking, but I recall us being in a field or a park the size of a football field that was in the midst of a city. Well, you know, Jesus said the field is the world, right? And this city represents being in the midst of worldly Babylon. Okay. Garrett said there were quite a few of us in this area, but for whatever reason, I do not know, I remember walking through this grassy area and realizing that the people with us were probably part of UBM. But a lot of them I have never seen before. Well, you know, broader worldwide UBM is a lot of people in it that we've never seen before, right? Then I found myself on a high mountain or cliff overlooking the field. And I saw you and others in the field, speaking of myself. And I believe that this probably represents a perspective on what's going on in the world in America from the kingdom of God's point of view, right? As I watched this, I saw many hostile soldier-type men in red uniforms parachuting down into the field. Well, I saw both interpretations here, but I only gave one in the beginning, and that is this. This represents the apostate enemy troops who walk in sin, which is represented as red in Isaiah 1 and 18. It says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Edom means red, and was the name given to Esau when he sold his birthright as a son of Abraham. Genesis 25 and 30. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, meaning red. And Jacob said, sell me first thy birthright. So this spiritual seed of Esau are Edomites, who have sold their birthright as Christians by walking after the flesh. Hebrews 12 and 15, looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. Notice Esau, Edomites, the Reds, were taken over by a root of bitterness and defiling people with their root of bitterness. And it goes on to explain, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat, that's following after the flesh. I know it's meat is not used in that way in the text, but that's what we're seeing there. Sold his own birthright. So, you know, folks, right now people are selling their birthrights because they have a root of bitterness because they can't stand to be at peace with their brothers. They got to judge somebody. They got to attack somebody. You know, they're very self-righteous. There's no peace in them. They're just evil to the core, and they're proving who they are right now. And they parachute down because they are fallen from heavenly places in Christ in order to be earthly. We were attacked by many Edomites not long after this dream. That's an experience that we had, and we're still having, matter of fact. These false Christians are enemies of the cross and are members of the beast army by nature. Okay, that's part of an interpretation. Here's the other part. A more physical aspect of this is that the Reds, or the Communists, are taking over the United States, and soon there will be another 9-1-1 and a war against the right, whom they will blame for all of these problems. The most important aspect of this is that the bride will escape this beast army by going into the wilderness. And that'll be sooner or later, folks. That's going to happen. Just as Jerusalem, the bride escaped the Assyrian beast in 2 Kings 19, 31 through 35. The beast captured the rest of Israel and Judah. Years ago, a sister in our assembly had a dream that she and others were fleeing from people in red uniforms into the safety of a tower. We knew that this was Zion, which is called the Tower of the Flock in Micah. It's also represented in Proverbs 18 and 10, where it says, the name, meaning the nature, character, and authority, of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. So what God is saying is he's going to keep his word here. His holy people, who do not need the kind of chastening that his worldly people do, are going to escape. Garrett said, I said to myself, this doesn't look good for David and the others. See, remember, he's looking down on this view, right? He sees these people in red coming in to take over. This doesn't look good for David and the others. For some reason, I was not worried about myself. That's when I saw you and the people fleeing out of the area. But these soldiers tried to detain who they could stop. Well, these, of course, are the enemies of Christ, spiritual and physical. And the beast armies will seek to hinder the people who want to leave Babylon for the wilderness, right? Then I was running through the field as well, and they tried to detain me too. I thought for sure that David and the others were captured. But as I ran out of the field and to the right, I found myself running to a safe house, which in fact was David's house. Our spiritual house that we must abide in is God's house, right? Don't go out of the house until the morning, right? Because the blood's on the doorposts and the destroying angel is out there, right? So we abide in God's house, which is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the house of David. Secondarily, God is providing physical safe house refuges for some. Amen. So the spiritual is always true no matter where you are, but there's also a physical aspect to it. And we believe that we're waiting for the sign to escape. And, you know, from this dream, it looks like just in time. Right? And we've had several like that. I was the last one in, that is, into the house of David. David and the others had somehow managed to all get in safe and sound, which was a surprise to me. I thought David had been captured. As I walked up to the house, I saw David's wife open the door for me and let me in. I know she was approximately his age, but she appeared to me as a woman in her late 20s and mid-30s. My spiritual wife, those who receive the seed of the word that I sow and bear the fruit of Christ, I believe that's who this represents. She had very long hair, representing submission to authority, 1 Corinthians 11, and wore old-style glasses and almost looked like she was living in the 70s. Well, I think this represents seeing and living the faith as it was once delivered unto the saints. In other words, those old-style glasses, we got to see things the way they saw things, right? Anyway, we were all in the house, safe and sound, end of dream. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is going to preserve His people. He is going to save and deliver and so on. Okay, let me share a couple other things with you. Some people have been asking about the Washington, D.C., which I think is only one leg of this attack. Okay? We have had for many years a scenario where there were at least three places being hit, in some cases more than that. And at one time, not necessarily at the same moment, maybe a slight delay between each. And so I think that that's what's going to happen here. But most recently, people have been asking me, you know, what about the D.C. prophecy that we've heard? Well, I'm going to read a couple of dreams for you here, and then I'll make some comments about that, okay? This is a dream given to Sultana in 2007. The year before 9-1-1, I dreamed of four explosions, and I told my husband that the World Trade Center was blown up, and I saw an explosion on the ground, and then I saw the Pentagon explode. That was pretty accurate. That was before 9-1-1 she had, right?